It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Christopher John O'Shea. Christopher.
Hey, Drew. Great to be with you, sir.
And what are we doing tonight?
Tonight is an open show.
Another one.
It's open. That means that our callers are our guests.
Our callers are our guests. They get to determine the direction of our show.
They do.
And they get to determine whether we're going to talk about retirement plans or taxes or IRAs or estate planning or income taxes or college planning or whatever, the stock market, you name it, anything they want to talk about, we'll talk about.
It's February 17th. Have you had enough of taxes already? You should want to talk more taxes.
You know, I'm having mixed emotions about tax season so far this year.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm like really excited. This is really cool. And other times I'm feeling like discombobulated, like, you know, I just can't get this done. Why can't I get this? The other day it took me almost 2.5 hours to get a tax return done for one client.
Well, you know, on top of that, you have people like the IRS come out and saying, hey, it'd be great if you just filed your taxes by the end of this week. That way you're going to get ahead of the fraudsters.
Yeah,
but you don't have all the forms available.
Why don't they start doing a better job of not allowing people to make it profitable to file false tax returns, you know?
Sure.
It's ridiculous. They should be absolutely slapped upside and one side and down the other for, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years, supposedly they have sent out billions of dollars to fraudsters. And it wasn't too complicated. I've seen some of the tax returns that people got refunds on clients of ours that they frauded, and the money was sent out to them. And it wasn't complicated to figure out, maybe something's wrong here. Maybe we ought to question why this person who was married last year is single now and asking for a huge refund, you know? I mean, you know, once you get one or two of them in, you figure you'd start catching it. It took them to get thousands and billions of dollars until they started to figure this out. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. You're the guest. You get to determine the direction of the show. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. And, Chris, my clock in front of me is not working, so you're going to have to let me know when Anita's going to start giving me the evil eye about, you know, we're
well,
really
that eye's just going to burn through the window over there, and she's going to communicate
true.
To you.
You know,
yes, we will do that.
Won't be like last week when she was playing me all those Cupid songs, you know?
Oh, yeah?
And you weren't here, were you?
I was not here.
That
I didn't get
Valentine's
the chance to listen.
Day, man, you know?
In advance of Valentine's
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Well, I want to go back to the time when she was playing music that got you moving in the chair.
There you go.
I want to get back to that. That was a rarity. I enjoyed it.
That was good. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, people call in early. They're always ones to get the most attention to their questions. And so now would be a great time to call in, 410-922-6680. You know I have at least 12 or 15 topics on the, you know, that I would love to talk about. I can't remember a single one of them.
Okay, well, there's all kinds of stuff happening, everything from the political side. We could go to the State House. There's all kinds of things that they're talking money and all that. The national stuff, it hasn't sorted out yet to really know what's going to happen in November. It's starting to...
These elections are... This is probably the scariest election I've ever seen because the choices are absolutely horrendous.
Then we have... I know the topic is just on the tip of my tongue with, just what the Federal Reserve is doing. They chart a course, and then they're saying, wait a minute, you know, maybe we don't want to do that course, so we're going to change a little bit.
Was that what their corporate minutes said today?
Well, they mentioned that they were going to go slower with the rate increase.
They don't have any chance of raising rates at this point in time because, the markets are not ready for, you know, they have to weaken the dollar. You cannot allow, they cannot allow the world currency reserve to strengthen the way it is, or else they're going to clobber the emerging market nations who tend to borrow in dollars, you know? And that's where the growth of the world is coming from, is the emerging market nations. And if you're, if their currencies are depreciating against the dollar, you're going to have a headwind into the economic growth of this nation, because so many of our corporations now make a large amount of their profits in emerging nations. And so it's not a complicated situation, but I think it is very complicated if you're just a bunch of academicians sitting in Washington trying to think about this, you know?
Yeah, there's they're missing a voice or two, it seems.
Anyway.
Were they hearing too many voices? I don't know what the we've got another minute before we have to do
We got another minute until we get, you know, but if you want to get online and ask a question about something being deal with IRAs or something of that sort, you know, one topic we could talk about is at this time of year, I'm seeing more and more new clients coming to us where they're stockbroker or somebody is doing this concept of putting money into a traditional IRA for high-income earners and then converting it over to a Roth IRA. And I think that there's a perception that this is a relatively easy concept. But if you don't understand the rules, I've had to reverse two or three that I found. I can't imagine how many people are getting, you know, surprises from these two-step, you know, IRA concept, which President Obama has said he wants to stop now. You know, so
he said a lot in his budget submission.
He did. He tried to hit many of the great tax strategies that are still being used today.
Yeah.
He tried to hit four or five of them in this present budget. Hopefully he fails in getting any of his budget through. But
Yeah, he has. He's done that. So you can turn over.
Well, we're going to go into that, but before we do, we just want to let you know we're on an open show. I'm going to have to talk to Chris all night if you don't call in, or he's going
Please,
to have to talk to
somebody
me.
Somebody call for him.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in. We're on an open show. You get to control the conversation. Right now, we're going to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth. Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one, or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the financial physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. Or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, we got you going, Chris, if nothing else.
Not as much as you were, but I'll give you that.
Yeah, you look like Robot Man over there, you know?
That's what the song was. Got to have the rhythm. So we have many open lines, Drew. We want to fill them up, don't we?
We do, but we do have one caller online.
Okay, great.
I don't know who it is, but we have a caller online, so... Well, we're on an open show, so if you want to call in and direct the conversation of the show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. You know, we drove over here like there was nothing, so maybe there's just nobody out on the road anymore. They all got home.
Everybody's been out of the office for days for snow and what have you,
right.
President's Day, and so now they're actually working.
They were all thankful that they could drive home quickly and not have to listen to Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Not at all. We still know there's a friend of ours. He's just driving around in his driveway, really. We used to say, you know, because he can listen to us on the radio.
Anyway, if you want to call in, we got two or three open lines, 410-922-6680. We'll go to Bill. Bill, how can we help you?
Yes, hi, Drew. Is it true that the 2012 tax law has locked in capital gains tax at 15% unless you have an income over $200,000, then it jumps up to a higher rate? And that was the first question.
Well, let's answer that question, okay?
Right.
So,
okay.
First off, If your income's over $200,000 and you're single,
right,
then any capital gains that you have, you have to pay the quote-unquote 3.8% Medicare tax. That's what a lot of people call it, but actually it's a net investment income tax. It's 3.8%.
On top of the 15%.
On top of the 15%. So if you're single, make over $200,000, have a capital gain or interest or dividends or any other kind of passive income, you add 3.8%. So therefore, if capital gains rate is 15, you add 3.8%, you're at 18.8%. If your income is over $400,000 and you're single, then you go up to 23.8% because the capital gains rate goes up to 20%. And if you're married, it's 250 before you add the 3.8% on, and it's 450 until you add the 23.8% total. Okay? What's your next one?
Oh, maybe I should.
Did I make that clear?
Maybe I should change my marriage plans.
There you go.
Well, you didn't finish elaborating on that, your tax tip.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I did that once, Bill. I had a client who lived with a lady for about 24 years. And in 2011, after they passed the tax laws in that year, I went to him and I said, you know, if you move to Florida and married the lady that you've been living with for 25 years, you and your family will save $4.8 million in taxes. Guess what he did?
Stay where he was.
No, he moved to Florida and got married, man.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
That was a trick. So thanks a lot for your question about the capital gains.
Did you have another one?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Technique.
All right. Well, okay. You know, if you get married, I hope we get invited.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. What are some of the more interesting deductions? You know, I tell you one that I see a lot is somebody comes in, they have an HSA at work, okay, high deductible health plan, and allows you to put away money into a health savings account, all right? And so they're putting it away at work. But, you know, when they put it away at work, they just set it up for a certain amount of money, a couple hundred dollars of paycheck or whatever the case may be. And next thing you know, at the end of the year, they might have in $2,000, or they might have in $3,200 or whatever. But the limit is, for a single person, it's $3,300 for 2015. I can't remember, in $6,650 for 2015. Right. But whatever, there's a higher amount that they could have put away for 2015, and they still have until April 15th to put that money away. And also, if you're over 55 years of age, you get to add another $1,000. I can't tell you how many times we get clients to put that last extra dollar into the HSA before April 15th. And the HSA is the greatest deduction of all. Did you hear that, Chris? You're not listening to me, are you?
I don't have to listen to it. It's ingrained. It's hardwired into my brain because of how often you've said it at work.
It's the greatest deduction of them all.
What do you really think?
No, really, because it's the only deduction that you get a deduction off of your income tax return, and then when you take the money out, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Right.
Go ahead, read it off.
Well, for 2015, it was $3,350 and $6,650 for individual and then a family. And this year, you get another $100 in 2016 up to $6,750. And you get another $1,000 if you're over 55.
Yeah. It's the greatest deduction of them all.
But keep going about what else it does.
The HSA. And if you didn't max it out, you still have until April 15th to get the money in for 2015. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. Charlie from Severna Park. How are you?
Great, and you? This is the first time for you to call.
It is.
All right.
So,
well,
the reason I called, you explained the new Social Security and file and suspend and restricted application in my specific case, but I've had some friends who are in that 58 to 62 range, and everybody's a little bit different situation, so I thought that maybe you could give a little short synopsis on and how all that changed just recently.
Okay. You wanna stay on with me, or you want to just tie up? Which do you prefer?
I'll stay on.
Okay. So here's what happened. In last year, they decided to eliminate file and suspend. So you have only until...
As it affects the...
Yeah, the you can still file and suspend,
right.
But nobody can collect benefits off of you while you're suspended. So,
right.
So, and you can still do it, though, up until April 29th. And we've been going through looking for our clients that fall into that they're over the full retirement age,
right.
Which is 66, but they're before... but they haven't filed yet, okay?
Right.
And they can file and suspend up until April 29th, and somebody can still collect off of them if they filed and suspend, but do it before April 29th. Anybody who's over the age of 66 and has not filed for Social Security should be running out before April 29th and filing and suspending whether they want the money or not, you know? If they want the money, you figure they've already collected. But if they don't want the money and they're tending to wait, they better go out there and
start
just file and suspend,
yeah.
Okay? And here's one of the, even if you're single, you should go out and file and suspend, even though it doesn't fall into this category, because let's say somebody's single and they decide, I'm not going to collect until I'm 70 because I'm going to keep working until I'm 70. Well, what happens if at 69 you find out that you had a terminal illness and you're not going to live more than a year? Well, by filing and suspending, you can go back, get a lump sum check all the way back to age 66.
And if you didn't file and suspend and you decide you want to start at 69, what happens?
You get just your monthly money,
yep.
If you didn't file and suspend.
Yep.
You can get a lump sum, though, if you file,
yep.
And suspend. It is a great thing. Everybody, listen out there, if you're married or single... And you're over 66 and you haven't filed for Social Security and you don't intend to file for Social Security anytime soon, file and suspend. Did you hear that?
I know people that in their 70s, they've never done anything.
I've met people in the 70s. That's the worst of all, because
yeah.
If you don't file at 70, every month you don't file, that's just money is gone. It's like burned up in a fireplace. You'll
yeah.
Never get it back.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next part that Charlie was talking about is people who are born, people who on December 31st, 2015, December 31st, 2015, you were 62 years of age or older, and you haven't filed yet. When you turn your full retirement age, which is going to be 66, when you turn your full retirement age, you can go in and collect the whichever of the two benefits you want, the lower of the two, let's say, and collect that basically free money, letting your own account grow to age 70. That's a no-brainer. You know, if you weren't planning to file until you turn 70 anyway, you go in and you get the lower of the two amounts of, you know, your spousal benefit.
Right.
You know, if you got to be married for this one to work. If you go in and you file your spousal benefit, you get half of your spouse's money while your account is growing by 32%. But it only works for people who are December 31st, 2015, were 62 years of age. If you weren't that day, you know, I'm not going to be, I was 58 on December 31st, 2015. I got the shaft.
You did?
They got the gold mine. We got the shaft. Charlie
the
got the
different.
Gold mine.
The song was different. I remember that.
Charlie got the gold
there
mine.
Got
we
the, got
the
shaft.
Shaft.
There you go.
Charlie, that's only because you were over 62 at that time.
That's true.
There you go. You got the gold mine. We Chris and I got the shaft. So you headed back to Severna Park.
I'm on my way, but that's a good concise answer, and I hope some of those people that asked me are listening. So thanks
yeah.
Again.
Well, you know, as I say, if you're over 66, you need to run out and file and suspend before April 29th. All right, Charlie, you take care. Good safe drive back. We'll be talking to you, and I got to go to traffic. I'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Who's we
that?
Are.
Who's that band?
Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
Christine McVie. There you go. Anita says she loves it.
Chris knows his music. He knows music and he knows movies.
I know sports and
he knows
all
a lot
those important
about
things. You
personal
know.
Financial advice also. But
yeah, that'd be the more important
movies
stuff.
Movies and music is something that he definitely knows a lot about. And sports, yes. Don't forget the sports. So anyway, we're here on an open show. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
And we're also going to hear about your other favorite topic, because it's around tax time.
Which is?
Roths.
Roths. We'll talk about them in a second. We've got Lee on the line, though, first.
We're yeah, I ask, think that's good to go to him.
We're
going to
ask Lee what
they
he would like
guests.
To direct the conversation. Lee, how can we help you?
Hi. You were talking about HSAs, and it's sort of... triggered me thinking about it. I'm retired, but my I have sons who are actually in the workforce.
Okay.
Thinking about them, where I'm coming from on this is I understand the concept is that basically you wind up selecting a high deductible option.
Right.
As far as insurance is concerned.
Right.
You're allowed to place a certain amount of money in it, and if you're you should be using a lot of that money that you're putting in. Now, what I'm wondering about is what happens with the money. I mean, basically, is this just a cash account, or are you allowed?
Well, what you get, Lee, is you get a if you have a very small amount of money, $1,000 or so, typically it is just a cash interest-bearing account. Which today there is no such thing as an interest-bearing account, so you're not making anything on it. But once you accumulate a couple $1,000 or so, most HSA providers give you a whole slew of mutual fund options of stocks and bonds and, things of that sort. So, I've got one and I've got, a fair amount of money diversified in a portfolio of stocks and bonds in my account.
All right. All right. That's what I was wondering. So essentially what you're saying, because I assume my kids would be able to wind up getting close to the maximum without any problem.
Now, how old are you, Lee?
Me? Oh, I'm about 66.
66. So, and you're on Medicare, right?
No, actually, I'm on my wife's insurance.
And so she's under 65?
No, she's over actually.
Okay. But you don't have Medicare A or B, either of you?
Either one.
So, technically, you two could have an HSA also. Anybody can have an HSA as long as they're not in Medicare. If you're on Medicare, that's what disallows you, or if you don't have a high deductible health plan. It has nothing to do with your earnings. Earnings has nothing to do with it. You don't have to be working. You could be unemployed for years, or you could be never employed, or whatever. As long as you have a high deductible health plan, you have the ability to put the money into the HSA, and you should. And one day we ought to do a whole show on talking about why the economics of this is so powerful. Because it is, and you said it earlier, if you're healthy, it's an absolute slam dunk. You should not miss a high deductible health plan with an HSA if you're relatively healthy. All right, Lee?
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care. We're going to Dirk. I hope I said that right. Is that right, or did Anita a joke on me?
Yes, it is. Matter of fact, I just missed your reference to the ability to file if you were the age of 62 after September of 2015.
If you were 62 on December 31st, 2015.
Or before, right? Yeah.
Or before, as long as you were 62 or older on December 31st, 2015. Then you can still go in and choose either your own benefit or a spousal benefit when you hit your full retirement age and let your own benefit continue to grow until you turn 70. Is that what you were asking about?
That is exactly what I was asking about. I just kind of missed it because just letting the dog in from the backyard.
What age are you, Dirk?
Well, I'm sorry?
What age are you?
I'm 63.
63. Have you claimed Social Security yet?
No, I haven't.
As your wife?
Well, no, I'm a reverse cougar. She's younger than I am.
Okay, well, that's okay. So how much younger is she?
6 years.
6 years. So for you, it's not going to matter, though. No, it won't matter for him. He'll never be able to use that option because his wife will. It couldn't work. The math just can't add up. She'd have to be at least 62 when he turns 66.
Yeah,
I see. Okay, I was.
Now it could.
About that,
it could work.
The financial advisor that we actually do our taxes through and stuff had not mentioned that. So.
Well, what you need to do, Dirk, is you need to get a Social Security calculator. And you need to get a Social Security calculation, you know, a maximizer calculation. But it could work, Chris. He could be, when he's 68, she'll be 62. And if she didn't intend to wait until she was 70, she could claim at 62. He could then take a spousal benefit for 2 years,
wait for his. Sure.
That's the only thing that could work, but it might hurt him if she starts claiming at 62 when she could wait until 70 herself.
Sure, because she's going to get a big discount.
She'd get a big discount if she was. So, you know, Dirk, you ought to get a Social Security maximizer. But because of her age and your age, I'm not sure you're going to get any benefit out of it.
And truth be known, I've actually kind of planned on working until I was at least 66 or 68 anyway, just because of the variables of the timing, monetary solutions.
But, based on that scenario, that's why you really would want to run a Social Security maximizer, because if you wait until you're 68, there is a possibility that a strategy could work for you and your spouse. But I wouldn't know unless you ran all those numbers. All right?
I appreciate the information, sir.
All right, sir. You take care. I'm going to Tom on investment property. How can we help you?
Drew, my son and I flipped a house, and we sold it this year. And then we took the money, and we bought an investment property. And I was wondering, do I have to pay capital gains on the house that we flipped, or can I defer that into the investment property that we bought?
Well, you know, that's an incredibly complicated question. I doubt seriously you can defer it into the property you bought, because I would guess that you did not do a 1031 exchange. In other words, you would have had to bring in this elaborate, structure when you sold the property, where a third party came in and acted between you and the seller and then took the money. The third party would take the money from the sale and move it over to the buy. And I bet anything you didn't do that.
Correct.
So therefore, you can't defer it. Now the question becomes, is it even a capital gain? Now the question there becomes, were you an investor? Or were you a real estate, what's the word for it, Chris?
Professional.
Real estate professional. And if it was, then there's a whole difference between whether it's actually a capital gain or not, which makes a big difference. And there's pluses and minuses to both sides of the coin. So if I were you, I'd make sure you get really good tax advice before you file that tax return. But no, you're not going to be able to defer it just because you bought a property of equal or greater value, unless you brought a 1031 exchange in. If he was a real estate professional, he couldn't even do that, right? He would have to be an investment property. You see, and this is a complicated area, Tom, because, you know, an investment property has to mean that you're an investor, as opposed to a real estate professional who is buying and flipping properties. And one is a business person, in essence, and the other one's an investor. An investor gets capital gains, a business person doesn't. There are pluses and minuses to both sides of the coin. You just better make sure you know which one's better for you or not. All right?
Okay, thanks.
All right. I think I confused him more than I helped him.
No,
what do you think?
I know you helped him, but
we got to go.
You need to do all kinds of hand signals.
Yeah, she's got the hand signals going. Well, we're going to go to traffic. We'll be right back with our couple callers we have online. Take it away, traffic. Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one? Or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the Financial Physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, and we're on open show, and lo and behold, the lines are absolutely jam-packed in the last 15 minutes. I'm going to have a hard time getting to them all, but I'll try. Dave, how can we help you?
Good evening. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Love your program, and I just have one question regarding Social Security. Earlier, you had a conversation with a 62-year who was a gentleman who was 62 years old as of December 31st, 2015.
Right.
I am in the same age at that time, and you discussed a possible spousal benefit for which he could file.
So, how old's your spouse?
Well, that's exactly why I'm calling. My wife at that time was 57. She is now 58.
She's 58, so...
Well, she turned 58 in January of 16.
Okay, and you're 62 still?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so in 4 years, you're going to be 66, which is your full retirement age.
Yes.
When you turn 66, you'll be then 62. And now it comes down to the only benefit will be is if your spouse files for Social Security at either 62, 63, or 64. If she does, there's a benefit for you. If she doesn't, then there's no benefit.
Okay,
and the reason is that she has to file as a retiree, which then will open the door for you at 66 to claim a spousal benefit because you were 62 on December 31st, 2015. You can take half of her benefit until you're 70, allow your own Social Security to continue to accumulate until you're 70, and get a maximization of your Social Security, which is 32% greater than what it was when you're 66 years of age. And in the interim, they'd be paying you to wait until you're 70. But that only works if she retires.
And that payment to me...
could be. It depends on how much money she's making.
Right.
Let's say her Social Security at 66 would have been $2,000 a month, and she claims at 62, and you claim at 66, you'd get $1,000 a month for 4 years until you turn 70, when you could flip to your own benefit, which is 32% higher.
I see.
All right?
And I was going to ask you, is there a deadline for me to do that filing?
No, you have until you're 66 to make this decision, and it's totally up to your wife. And as I said to the other gentleman, Dirk, I said, run a Social Security maximization analysis. Get somebody who knows what they're doing to run a Social Security maximization analysis for you and your wife when you turn 66 and she's about to turn 62. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. You take care. I'm going to Lee. Trust.
Yeah, two questions. Number one, does a supplement basis apply to a marital trust when the beneficiary of the trust dies?
When the if it's a marital trust, okay, yeah, and the benefit and the person of the spouse who that was set up for dies, there should be a full step up in basis if you've got your terms correct.
Okay.
So, in other words, if she has stocks in there she paid $10 for and they're $50, or the trust paid $10 for, they're $50, and it was truly a marital trust, which means that it was part of her estate or his estate, then yes, you'll get a full step up. If it was a family trust, then no, you would have to pay the taxes on those stocks if you sold them still.
And the same question is, when does mandatory distributions apply to the federal TSP? If you're working, does that apply? If you're over?
So when you're 70 and a half, the thrift savings plan, that's what you're referring to, right?
Right.
When you're 70 and a half, you have to start taking distributions unless you're still working for the federal government.
Okay.
And
right.
And you would obviously owe taxes on that money, whatever lines up with on your taxable situation. All right?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I don't know if I got that second question right, but I know I understood his first question. Brian on IRAs, how can we help you?
Hi, thanks. I want to know how to use one's IRA to buy a house or pay for part of the loan or whatever.
You can do it only if you want to hurt yourself badly.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way, Brian. There are a bunch of people out there who tell you that you can do this kind of stuff. And the answer is yes, you can. But you better make sure that you have extremely good, not biased advice about what you're doing, because the IRS is on the warpath on this, where people are using their IRAs to start businesses and buy houses and things that they're going to use somewhat for their own benefit, like a vacation home, and they're going to rent it out and they're going to call it an investment and put it in their IRA, but they're going to go down there every once in a while and use it also. The IRS is on it.
What about if it's your primary house?
Oh, it's impossible. That's a prohibited transaction, absolutely 100%. You cannot do it. And anybody who tells you you can, run from them as fast as you can, Brian.
So a prohibited transaction means when you do that, the IRA is going to be considered fully distributed to you and fully taxable in
all right,
the year
Brian?
In which you do that.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Well, I mean, the one thing you can do is take the money out and pay taxes on it and buy the house. Let's see if we can get this last caller. Betty, can we help you on Social Security?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was born 55. My husband's born 51. He had to get on a Social Security disability.
Okay.
Where can we go from here? What can he do?
In what regard?
In the way of, like, saving money or collecting. I'm not going to be, you can't collect too much on mine, but he made more than I did.
So you were born in 55. That means you just turned 60, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So,
yeah, I'm turning 61 next month.
Right. So once you turn 62, you can go in and claim Social Security for yourself also and right. And try to, get whatever money you can get for yourself. So that is a possibility.
And when he retires, his disability will just become retirement income.
When he turns 66, right, he can go in and defer. He can suspend his payments and then wait until 70 and get a higher amount of money. But I'm not necessarily sure that that's going to be the best strategy for you. I'd have to see a lot more to be able to help you on that one.
Right. Okay, another question.
Real quick, I think I'm out of time. Can you hold on? I'm going to have I'm going to talk to you off the air because I basically have to go before Anita really gets mad if I go beyond this one.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
So hold on. I'm going to come back to you. And the other caller, if he holds on or she holds on, I'll also answer their question. All right, Chris, we're out of time, believe it or not.
We are.
I can't even tell that we're out of time. But we are.
Time waits for no man.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.